The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Esan
and Ibrahim Kwarten.
In the headlines, six killed in sporadic shooting at Swobodom and Gonahafu. NPP flag bearer Nana Akufo-Addo appeals to government and striking doctors to return to negotiating table. Stakeholders deliberate on strengthening draft affirmative action bill. And warehouse of dangerous chemical goods explodes in China, killing at least 17. First, a summary with Ibrahim Kwarteng.
Six people have been confirmed dead after sporadic shooting at Swobodom in Techiman in the Bonahafu region. No arrests have been made so far, but police say efforts have been made to apprehend perpetrators of the act. The 2016 flag bearer of the NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, has appealed to both government and striking doctors to return to the negotiating table to bring an end to the strike, which is affecting many citizens. A statement signed by the flag bearer said it is unfortunate that the negotiations have been allowed to degenerate into the lack of confidence and display of bad faith that would lead to a strike. Stakeholders have been deliberating on ways to strengthen the draft affirmative action bill. With the release of the document by the Attorney General's Department for Amendment and resubmission to Cabinet. At a forum in Accra, the Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nana Oyelita, said government cannot be blamed for the delay of the bill because successive governments since 1998 did not do enough to bring it into fruition. And massive explosions have hit China's northern city of Tianjin, leaving at least 17 people dead and hundreds more injured. State media said the blast happened in a warehouse storing dangerous and chemical goods in the port area of the city.
TBC is mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
The news in detail. Six people have been confirmed dead after sporadic shooting at Swobodom in Techiman in the Bonafu region, causing fear and panic. So far, no arrest has been made, but the police say efforts are being made to apprehend the perpetrators of the act. Speaking on Behind the News, the Techiman Police Divisional Commander, Chief Superintendent Chumisi Ankara, said the military and police are patrolling the town to maintain security in the area.
The information on the ground indicated that five men on board a motokin came to the town at the spot where the incident took place. They came out of the motokin and they started firing.
These men from the motokin, where were they from?
We are not able to get the identity or where they came from. So we are asked able to assist the police to locate the motokin that they came with. If you're able to locate the motokin, then we'll be able to locate the owner or the driver of it. Then we start from there.
Any reason for the sporadic shooting, if you can tell us?
So the risk of chitancy is over there. For the 15 months that have been in Techiman, the town has been calm. The chitancy issue is there, but then people go about their normal activities without fear of over. It's unfortunate this incident should happen. Then on the surface, people are attributing it to the chitancy issue. But for our investigative point of view, since it has already been established that the incident was caused as a result of chitancy, we are taking our time. So when we start investigation, when we get information and then we go through into it, we will be able to ascertain the real cause.
Techiman Police Divisional Commander, Chief Superintendent Chumisi Ankara.
Meanwhile, the District Chief Executive for Techiman North, Peter Manu, says an emergency dissect meeting is scheduled today to constitute a team to investigate the incident.
Swobodom had been a volatile society for some time because of the chieftaincy conflict, but we cannot tell whether this stems out of chieftaincy or not. We are yet to meet with the District Security Committee.
How are they injured?
When we were at the hospital, they brought two more injured. So that adds up to the 7 to 9.
Were you able to interact with the injured?
Yes, for the two.
And what exactly did they tell you?
According to them, they had gone to work from this man and they were going back to Swobodom. Then, just before reaching Swobodom, at the outskirts of the town, somebody shot at them. But they were injured. They were on a motorbike. So they were returned to the Holy Family Hospital at this man. It was when we were coming from a meeting at Sunyane that I had the information on the road. So I quickly turned back to the regional minister's brief and then briefed him. But when I reached there, he told me he had also had information already from Kitsiman. And the police reached me, and I decided to go to the hospital myself to find things out. I think we'll have to mount an extensive investigation, and the culprit, they will have to be dealt with according to the law.
That was the BC for Techiman North, Peter Mino.
To other stories, the 2016 flag bearer of the MPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, has appealed to both government and striking doctors to return to the negotiating table to bring an end to the strike, which is affecting many citizens. A statement signed by the flag bearer said it is unfortunate that the negotiations have been allowed to degenerate into the lack of confidence and display of bad faith that would lead to a strike. The statement said government and the Ghana Medical Association need to sit down until an agreement is reached.
Still on the strike, the Old Vandals Association has added its voice to calls on the Ghana Medical Association, GMA, to call off a strike and return to the negotiating table. The president of the association, Isaac Sapon, who made the call in an interview with Radio Ghana, said the doctor should consider the plight of patients, the vulnerable and the destitute, and return to the consulting room. He spoke to Yaya Kwamwa.
As the adage goes, that if two elephants fight, it is the grass that suffers. And the situation we are in now as a country can be likened to a fight between two elephants. We have the government against the Ghana Medical Association, and the innocent Ghanaians are in the middle. Ultimately, we're likely to see a winner, a loser, or it may even end in a draw. But in the meantime, innocent people are dying, and that is what actually motivated us to step in, follow the lead of others in leading with brothers of the Ghana Medical Association to return to work as negotiations continue.
One would say your call is a little bit belated.
We thought about it earlier, but we thought government and the GMA were going to reach an agreement anytime soon. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, and we're approaching Friday, which the GMA has threatened to actually embark on the mass resignation.
President of the Old Vandals Association, Isaac Sapon.
The Minister of Health, Alex Agbafia, continued his visits to some hospitals in the capital to assess the state of affairs. He visited the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, the police, 37 military and Tema General Hospitals, and was overwhelmed by the conditions at these facilities. He entreated the striking doctors to return to work, describing their action as illegal. He gave the assurance that more support will be given the hospitals to forestall any worsening challenge. Natre Soa reports.
The first point of call was the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, where nurses were attending to some patients, but doctors were absent. The outpatient department was virtually empty. The chief executive of the hospital, Dr. Gilbert Bako, said due to the strike, most patients visit other health facilities to access health care. Dr. Bako also spoke about the conditions at the hospital.
All inpatient services are being provided to the fullest. No patient in the hospital is being denied care. The outpatients are officially closed, notwithstanding when there are serious situations and cases that come in. We do have doctors who are still on their duty call, and we can call them in to attend to them. The public is aware that the hospital is not functioning. A lot of them don't even come. But the few who are not aware and who believe this is the only place they can come, when they do come, we do have doctors on standby who come in to provide care. Having said that, it's difficult to find an option to replace 500 doctors, and that is the reality of the situation. So we've just appealed to them, and they've all, in principle, agreed. And when there's a need to call them to come in, they come in as individuals and provide the services that are required.
As the police and 37 military hospitals, the outpatient department was almost choked with patients with the wards totally filled to capacity. Staff of the two hospitals are on record to be overworking. The medical director at the police hospital, COP Dr. Saidu Muhammad Zakaria, called for the release of funds to mitigate the challenges confronting the hospital.
We put more doctors in our outpatient department and the place is not too congested. We have put beds to take in ill patients, and that is what is keeping us look after the patient. We will look after anybody who comes here. We also have some nurses who have finished their training and are waiting to be engaged to help us. The outpatient, we saw over 600 patients, and the admissions corridors are full of patients on cam beds. The maternity, for instance, they admitted 62. This will normally take only 22 beds.
Staff at the Tema General Hospital took advantage of the strike to clean the facility, especially the intensive care units, general outpatient departments, and adult emergency units. There were no patients recorded at the hospital, but the inpatients were busily being attended to. The head of Department of Public Health at the hospital, Dr. Joseph Donko, complained about the lack of space on the wards. He said, though doctors have been absent, nurses and senior staff are catering for inpatients to forestall any fatality.
Now, Trace Over reporting.
And still on health, the head of the stroke unit of the Collaboration Hospital, Dr. Albert Akpalu, has received the donation of healthcare items from the Ghanaian community in Oklahoma, United States. Items such as kangaroo e-pump, external feeding pump, and finger pulse oximeter worth $10,000 were presented. Emily Lochu and Rita Jete have more.
The international coordinator of Ghanaians in Oklahoma, Dr. Mina Akwe, said Ghana as a country needs more room for improvements when it comes to health delivery. She said the group are committed to assisting the stroke unit of Kolebu to offer dedicated multidisciplinary care to stroke patients so as to reduce morbidity and mortality. Dr. Akwe gave assurance that there will be a follow visit regularly by representatives of the group over the next 3 to 5 years so as to strengthen the relationship as well as monitor the benefits of their donation to the unit.
The Vice Chancellor of the University of Health and Allied Sciences, Professor Fred Binker, says the university has made modest progress in the first 4 years of its existence. He told Radio Ghana that one of the major challenges is that the university needs clearance every year from the Finance Ministry to engage the full complement of lecturers. Professor Binker says admissions are still in progress for new entrants. He spoke to George Ankara.
As we speak, we have entered our fourth year at the university. So this August is the beginning of the fourth year. And we've just done the admissions for this year and the first batch of admissions. And we're hoping to complete the second batch this week as we collect the results from WAEC for those who have just passed the SHS examinations. You know, the WAEC just released the results. So we'll give opportunity to some of those students also to be admitted. So we are admitting our fourth batch of students in the various programs that are run in 5 schools. The School of Medicine running the Physician Assistance Program and the Medical Degree Program. The School of Nursing is running a Bachelor's in Midwifery and a Bachelor's in Nursing, and is also doing an Access course and also doing a sandwich program for those 2 programs in the School of Nursing. We're also having students in the School of Public Health who are doing a bachelor's program in the School of Public Health. And then we also have the School of Allied Health Sciences, where we are running programs in physiotherapy, dietetics, and medical laboratory sciences.
On the strike by lecturers, Professor Binker describes it as unfortunate. He admits that it is strange that research allowance has been made part of the conditions of service of lecturers because research forms part of the conventional teaching practice.
Fortunate to have this strike action, especially for us as a new university. We really are not in a position. We have so much to cover and so much to catch up with. So when these strikes occur, they actually disrupt our activities. We just hope that from the letters we have received, we hope that this there will be a solution to the research and book allowance and that our lecturers will be back before the end of this month to continue with the development program that we set ourselves up for the 2015-2016 academic year.
Professor Binker, if we're looking at the strike that lecturers and other professionals are embarking on, particularly lecturers who are demanding research allowance, some of us think that research is part of the conventional teaching practice, and so therefore you need to do some research before you go to meet the students. If you don't research, you are likely to perform poorly. Why should allowance be paid for something that is supposed to be part of the conventional work of teachers?
I think that's a question that I'm not in a position to answer. I think that has been part of conditions of service for these lecturers. And I think the person who created that also created a problem. You are truly right. You cannot be in the university without doing research. Research and service and the teaching are the major functions of any lecturer who is engaged into a university. So you cannot definitely continue to teach without undertaking research.
You heard the Vice Chancellor of the University of Allied Sciences, Professor Fred Binka. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: 6 killed in sporadic shooting at Obodom and Bonahafo. NPP flag bearer Nana Akufo-Addo appeals to government and striking doctors to return to negotiating table. Stakeholders deliberate on strengthening draft affirmative action bill. And warehouse of dangerous chemical goods explodes in China, killing at least 17. Do stay tuned.
Continue. Stakeholders have been deliberating on ways to strengthen the draft affirmative action as the Attorney General's Department has released a document for amendment and resubmission to Cabinet. At a forum in Accra, the Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nana Oyelita, said the government cannot be blamed for the delay of the bill because successive governments since 1998 did not do enough to bring it into fruition. She added that her ministry will ensure that the NDC's manifesto, which promised 40% representation of women in decision-making positions, becomes a reality. Irabna Paha reports.
The purpose of the Affirmative Action Bill is to promote the full and active participation of women in public life by providing for more equitable systems of representation in the electoral policies and governance. This is in accordance with Ghana's constitutional obligation. At a dialogue session in Accra, the Minister of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Nana Oyelita, said the bill, when passed, will carefully identify and redress areas of political, cultural, economic and educational imbalance and ensure gender equality in Ghana.
Any process to increase female participation in governance and create an all-inclusive governance structure where women, where persons with disabilities, where youth equitably participate, that is not a deliberate process. That is not well planned and structured, will not succeed. And that is why we need to use affirmative action to increase the numbers of women in governance. As the government machinery mandated to ensure promotion of gender equality through mainstreaming gender considerations, we as the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection believe that equal representation of men and women in taking decisions reflects a more accurate composition of our society.
Dr. Ransford Jumpur of the Department of Political Science at the University of Ghana traced the history of affirmative action in Ghana.
The moral support, the praise singing, and the participation in the various mechanisms put in place by Nkrumah to ensure the exit of the colonial master, you know, women took active part in these processes. And so it was in recognition of the role that they played in the independence struggle that Nkrumah, for the first time in the political history of Ghana, enacted a policy of affirmative action called the Representation of People Bill. And
that was Dr. Ransford Jumpur in that report by Irabna Baha.
About 60% of the youth who presented proposals for assistance under the Youth Enterprise Support Yes Initiative are into agribusiness. President Mahama said this means there is hope for the country's agriculture sector, which government seeks to revive. The president was presenting cash packages to the first batch of beneficiaries of the Yes program at the Flagstaff House. Each beneficiary takes home 250,000 Ghana cedis to expand their businesses. Pascalina Dadevo reports.
Exactly a year ago, the president launched the Youth Enterprise Support Program with a seed capital of 10 million Ghana cedis. The YES program is designed to target young Ghanaian entrepreneurs between the ages of 18 and 35 with good business ideas and the potential to employ about 100 people. This move is another fulfillment of a major manifesto promise of the NDC government. After the launch, about 2,000 proposals were received by the YES secretariat. After a rigorous process, the first batch of 107 were selected. The second group of 350 will soon receive their package as well. Ghana, like other countries, suffer the brunt of youth unemployment, and initiatives as these are meant to fix the microeconomic imbalances and encourage skills acquisition. President Mahama reiterated the fact that every Ghanaian youth is free to apply for the support initiative.
I refer specifically to the story of Eric, who refused to allow his limited proficiency in the English language to rob him of an opportunity to take advantage of this initiative. When Eric was called upon to present and defend his business proposal before a panel of distinguished individuals, he boldly indicated his challenge in spoken English and opted to speak in Cree, his native language. Eric decided to present samples of shoes that he had made as a way of convincing the panel that he had talent that could not be denied on account of his inability to express himself fluently in English. This singular achievement of Eric underscores the fact that YES is an initiative open to all Ghanaian youth, irrespective of their social or educational background.
The president was also enthused about the fact that a number of the youth proposals were geared towards the agriculture sector. He said this is particularly welcome at a time government has set out to encourage young people to go into agriculture.
I am informed that 63.55% of the applicants were in agriculture and agribusiness, naturally so. This conveys a message of hope for the agricultural sector, which will for the foreseeable future remain the dominant sector of our economy, even as we encourage other sectors to grow. What is needed is support and encouragement. This also aligns with the program I unveiled in my 2014 State of the Nation address, focusing on the cultivation and processing of products for which we have a comparative advantage as a way of promoting import substitution and reducing our import dependence.
Some of the beneficiaries speak on their business proposals.
We are Harmony Trend Ghana. We make clothes, so we applied for machines. So basically, we're looking at machines that we do not have currently that should help increase our production.
Did you think you were going to make it?
Yeah, absolutely, because we had a good business case to present. We also had a very reliable accounting system.
Heard some beneficiaries of the YES initiative, ending that report by Pascalina Dadevo.
The management of the Ghana Gas Company says it is committed to ensuring that it keeps to its mandate to supply gas and ensure that there is adequate power for domestic and industrial consumption. The chief executive of the company, Dr. George Sipayanke, in an interaction with chiefs from Elembele on the positive impact of the gas processing plant at Atuabo, said the decision to do a reverse flow of gas to feed the power enclave at Tema is yielding positive results.
Recently, something happened which most Ghanaians are not taking notice of. When the agreement was signed between VRA and West African Gas Power Company, West African Gas Pipeline Company, there was an agreement that there should be a foundation gas of 120 million scf of gas per day. Between that period and now, WAPCO has been selling gas to Abwazi between 30 million, 50 million scf, at times nothing at all. When Ghana Gas decided to do the reverse flow, to reverse flow gas from the Western region to Tema, all of a sudden, through the past few days, they now began to give us 100, 120 million scf of gas per day.
That was the chief executive of Ghana Gas Company, Dr. George Sipayanke.
Welcome back. Massive explosions have hit China's northern city of Tianjin, leaving at least 17 people dead and hundreds more injured. State media said the blast happened in a warehouse storing dangerous and chemical goods in the port area of the city. Pictures and video on social media showed flames lighting up the sky and buildings are said to have collapsed. Hospitals are reported to be overwhelmed with casualties.
And now to end the news, a look at some of the stories that made the headlines. Six people have been confirmed dead after a sporadic shooting at Tuobodom in Techiman in the Bunahafu region. No arrests have been made so far, but police say efforts are being made to apprehend perpetrators of the act. And massive explosions have hit China's northern city of Tianjin, leaving at least 17 people dead and hundreds more injured. The news was presented by Ibrahim Kwarteng
and Samuel Essa in Accra.